turning on human mode.
Activated. Hello, everyone. It's your humans, Kyle and Noah. Noah, humans speak and they greet their audience. Go ahead, Noah.
Hello, fellow humans.
I feel like you're still in robot mode.
No.
Affirmative. Affirmative. Humming Fools, welcome to another episode of our show. So happy to have you here. Noah, happy to have you here across from me. Too far, if you ask me.
Yeah. Should we?
You want to
scoot closer.
Shuffle. Noah, we've chatted a little bit tonight. We've shared pizza together. Mm. We've nerded it up a little bit.
A little bit.
But for our listeners, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Red Dead Redemption, which, you know, that's not going to end anytime soon. So
yeah. Do you still have the Porsche today?
Yes.
Nice. And how's that puppy?
I actually
going?
Have the Porsche.
Oh, she's gotten an A. She's upgraded.
Yeah.
I'm not a car person.
No,
at
I
all.
Know. I know. I just wanted everyone else to know that.
And that's fine. Yeah. And I just want everyone to know for you that you suck.
That's true.
I'm glad that we can be friends though, even though I don't know stuff about cars. That's the beauty of,
even though I suck.
Oh, I mean that too, but mainly the car thing.
I'm so glad I'm able to see past that about you.
This is kind of a random tangent, but something that I'm trying to get better at myself is not connecting with everyone on everything. I can feel like left out if my friends both like something that I don't like because I view it as like a form of connection. So then I'm like, crap, I can't have what they have with that thing. And I'm trying to get better at being like, but that's okay because I feel drained when I try to like things that I don't like. Yeah. It has nothing to do with anything. I just have been thinking about that recently where I'm like, how can you just let other things be their own things and be confident in your own crap?
Yeah.
Because again, if people are like, well, Kyle, we like cars, so we don't want to hang out with you anymore. It's like, well, then we probably were never going to make it.
Yeah. Well, and also if you fake it, like people can tell.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this guy does not.
Man, my exhaust pipe, it pumps out pollution when I drive fast. And I like going over 80. And man, I like to wax my door. And, you know, the gears. They do their thing, and don't even get me started on that motor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's a beauty.
No, go ahead.
I replace my wife with that motor if I could. Is that how car people talk? Is that a misconception?
That's pretty close. That's a good imitation.
No, before we lose all our car listeners and I just further embarrass myself, will you let people know what our topic is today?
It's kind of a longer I was trying to come up with a catchy title for it, but it's essentially just the importance of art in a society and why, more specifically, why it's important. So, yeah.
So you're telling me that we're tackling something large and wide and difficult again?
Yeah.
Haven't we learned our lesson?
No. I don't think we ever will.
Well, and so that's a good note to start on, just having the preface of Noah and I are not going to say all the things that need to be said tonight in regards to this topic. And if there's some of you out there who are, you know, art history nerds, you're probably going to roll your eyes a lot. We're like, they're missing this and they're missing that. And they didn't even mention that thing. To set your expectations correctly, this is going to be more of just a casual discussion of why Noah and I like art, why we think it's important, some examples that come to mind. We're going to miss a lot of crap, which is good because we want to learn. So point it out.
Yes,
engage with us.
At the same time, this is also, or at least my part of it, isn't going to be based on any research or anything. It's like all opinion. And so I feel like if I had researched it, then it would be someone else's words. Not to say.
Well, now you're telling me that that's going to happen with me because I did some Googling.
Well, no, but that'll be a good balance then. That's the thing.
Yeah, but they're not my words anymore. No.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of us has to be authentic.
Oh, it cuts deep. Well, since you're the most authentic one here, Noah, why don't you lead us with strong hands and start the discussion, you butthole.
No, you go ahead.
No, I already did my spiel. Go ahead.
No, you did so much research, though.
Would you say I did a plethora of research?
No.
A conglomerate? Say one of those or I'm not going. You got two strikes with me, buddy.
You should have researched how to use those words.
Oh! No, but really, you can go ahead.
No.
Approximately 10 hours later.
I'll start us off. I don't really know exactly where to begin. I did some Googling, saw what other people were thinking, and it was kind of like, yeah, I think that that's good too. You know, it mentioned
yes.
art can be a vehicle for social change. Mm-hmm. It can create empathy. It can challenge. It breaks down barriers. It's a form of communication. It's also not all rainbows and feelings. It's economically viable as well. It's very tasty in making the money. That's probably the least important to me. But we can touch on all of these specifically. So let's start with just something that popped into my mind, not in regards to social change, but just kind of creating awareness and being challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the Phoenix Gallery. It's a local gallery here in Fayetteville. They're an art group, cooperative. I don't exactly, know.
Collective.
Yeah.
That's the trendy term right now.
All right. Yeah. Let's say they're a collective. my brother-in-law, he's part of it. And so I was going there to see his stuff and support him. But while I was there, there was another guy kind of like running the just the booth of being like, yo, what's up? And he had a piece on the wall and he's like, oh, be sure to go take a look at that one. I was like, all right. And I did. And at first I was just like, this is a bunch of burnt hot dogs. And I rolled my eyes.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is dumb. And now I was that like, I'm going to have to like smile and be like, wow, this is really good. but then I continued to stare at it and, sprinkled in with the burnt hot dogs was fingers popping out that were also charred. They were black. Mm. And I was like, okay, interesting. Changing my opinion. I don't know to what, but
sure.
I'm seeing some burned fingers with the hot dogs. And so then I glanced down and I'm like, maybe this title or description will help me out. And the title was Memorial Day. And then I was like, oh, okay. I see you.
Uh-huh.
And, it just instantly was yummy to me. Mm. And it's the whole rest of the day, I kind of was thinking about Memorial Day and the irony of like, you know, we're taking this day to celebrate people in the armed forces, but it's like people are getting drunk and, you know, like just screaming and shouting. And it's like, what's the cost? Now, I'm not trying to get political. I'm, you know, not necessarily against war. I don't know. I'm a wee babe. But it just sparked thought in me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of spent the rest of the day being like, how do you properly respect the sacrifice? But at the same time, like, you know, is it become too much debauchery? Like, is it worth this? Is this what we want? And I just found it kind of fascinating and unexpected.
Mm.
And that's, I think, it plays into our topic, is that art is important because it can be a catalyst for those kind of emotions and thoughts, whereas you wouldn't necessarily get that from a conversation or a book, like like education or something. Mm-hmm. So that's me starting us off.
Yeah, no, but, and yeah, to that point too, it's the old, you know, picture's worth a thousand. Man, I...
Why
am I always the only one doing the cliches?
Because you're unoriginal. And
yeah,
you suck.
That's why. Maybe I should have done research. But no, it really does have that kind of intangible quality. Intangible is the word, I think. Not intangible.
Be nice to yourself.
Yeah. Quality of, it'll just make you feel something without having to... anything written. Although in this case, you did have to read the title.
I would not have gotten it without the title.
But
I
mean, so, and like that may have been intentional from the artist. Yeah, you really can get such a range of emotions from an image that you don't get from text. And that those emotions can be different depending on who's viewing the thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else may have gotten something completely different from that same piece that you saw. And I think that plays into the whole that it's its own art is its own language, where it'll sort of, and this is, I guess this is specific to visual art. And I feel like a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to be specific to visual art.
Don't put me in a box.
So Kyle, you know, you're excluded.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go pee.
But for the, I guess for this example specifically, it'll be about visual arts. But yeah, you can communicate with anyone else with art, and it's kind of a universal language that you're born with. Obviously, there's different degrees of interpretation depending on how much you know about art and just how educated you are outside of the art world. So that you would know what it's referencing.
Yeah.
But it really does get a mental, at least, conversation started on a topic that you may not have thought of before, or just a different way of viewing that topic.
So,
yeah.
And every piece of art is like a little time capsule. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's about a different time or yada, 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 it's like it... Like you said, it's a language, and it helps us speak and learn and engage with different cultures and, again, even different time periods. The fact that we can read, you know, Homer's, like, epic poems, it's like it teaches us so much about the culture back then, you know, or even, like, Dostoevsky, like, being able to be, oh, this was 19th century Russia. And there's stuff that is foreign to me as a, you know, a young Latin American, that's what I am, white boy. That I'm like, I don't really understand what's going on with this Russian stuff.
Sure.
But there's other things where I'm like, oh, like that's universal and that's beautiful. And it's, you know, it's translated and all that stuff. But I would always, when we were specifically going through, is it Tales or, okay, it's Notes from the Underground. My friends and I were always like, oh my gosh, is this, he's so you, or you're so him. Cause there's the whole, I'm going to just walk into somebody to prove that I exist. Like so angsty and overthinking everything. But, yeah, that's just, what's cool is that we can, it's kind of like, you know, history, you keep looking back and you learn and you're like, oh, this is where they're at. This is the context. And with art, it's like, it's all sprinkled throughout that because people have been making it basically since the beginning of time. And yeah, you don't necessarily need to speak that language to be like, oh, like this is beautiful or this is sad. Some, like some of the history or the culture might be lost on you.
Yeah.
Or like, why are they doing it this way? But yeah, it's kind of cool that it breaks down those barriers and just kind of says like, enjoy me, like feast your eyes or listen to me. That one's a little bit harder. You know, if someone's singing in Japanese, I might not fully connect with it.
Yeah.
You know, it might sound awesome, I imagine, but I don't know.
But I think there's a similarity there with visual art to where, like, a lot of people, and I feel like in recent years, for example, K-pop has become really popular over in the Western world. Even though, you know, most people can't understand what the lyrics are, just there's an appeal to the aesthetic, to the music and all that stuff. The same can happen with a piece of visual art where you might not get the full message, but aesthetically it's very pleasing to you. And I think that kind of speaks to art on the surface. It can, you know, one of the things that it contributes to society is just it's enjoyable. You get some, you know, you can get something out of it, even if it doesn't have a message, even if it's just like irreverent or it's goofy or it's weird or it only means something to the person that made it. It still like has the potential to appeal to someone else. And that's worth something, I feel like.
Yeah. Like what's recently the Bohemian Rhapsody movie came out. And I've heard mixed things about it. I can't speak to it. I haven't seen it, but that's kind of, this may be not true. So you can, you know, swipe it down if that's the case or our listeners, but someone was reviewing the movie and they're like, I always wondered, you know, what that song was about. And this movie tells you like nothing. Like, it's a bunch of nonsense, but there's something so enjoyable about that. It's become this anthem, you know, for like at that time and even now just for like weirdos and, you know, people who are irreverent or just goofy. And it doesn't have to be super meaningful or deep to have worth. It's the fact that it was made and skill was put into it to where it sounds good, but it's just this kind of ridiculous song.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I haven't seen the movie either, but I there are stories of like Freddie in the studio being like, we need to put another couple of Galileos right here and it's going to really work. And I mean, that, you know, that tells you something about just how good he was with that stuff. It's just like, he could just feel it out. It's like, you know what? I'm going to say some ridiculous sounding words here and it's going to work and people are going to love it. And it does work and people do love it. So yeah, but yeah, he just had fun with it. And I think, you know, a lot of times that shows through. If you enjoy what you're doing and you have a good time making it, I think you're going to come out with something that, like, that energy is going to kind of transpire. I can usually tell. For example, if you have students that have to make art pieces for an art class, and it's not, the topic is not something they're passionate about, and the style that they have to use, they're not excited about, you're going to be able to tell that in the final thing that they turn in. As opposed to another person, even if that person has less talent, quote unquote, if they're like, oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite topics. Oh, this is this type of media. I can do this. That's going to show. People are going to be like, oh, wow, you clearly had a good time making this. And that, I think that applies to just any type of art, even written or visual or, So
I feel like all of my teachers early on in my career in college saw the lack of excitement for certain things. Like, 'cause you had to take... And we might have had this class together. No, yeah, we did have this class together. I think it was like art introduction or... With Bobby Martin.
Yeah. Were we together?
What was that class? What was that class called? I have a vague memory of you there.
Foundations of art, maybe.
But like having to do the graphic design stuff.
Yeah.
Or like the art piece, like to show what an art piece would look like. That I just was like, my brain doesn't work this way. And so like the effort, it's like, here's my final project. And it's like the scale's all crazy and it's poorly photoshopped. And it just was like... But yeah, like when someone is giddy about something, even if there's a lack of skill, there's a, you can see that passion for it. And that's what's cool is just, you know, there's the whole like, oh, like everyone's a snowflake and we're all and everyone is unique in certain ways. But we're also all very similar. And that's what's kind of cool about art is that, throughout history, there's all these patterns. There's all these common themes, emotions. We anger, sadness, happiness, the longing for purpose, yada yada. And so that recognition of, you know, like me too, like that's me, or like I felt that, or I love that, or I love seeing this person be weird because I'm weird. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. There's just something kind of like. I can't think of the word. It brings us together.
Yeah, there's like the item of solidarity.
Yes, yeah, solidarity. That's the word Papa wanted.
But I was going to say that too. Like, even if I'll see someone do something, I'm like, man, I don't get what you're doing. I can't relate to whatever this is, but you're having a good time doing it. And I love that. And it makes me happy. So yeah, that's definitely part of it too. But I mean, and maybe that extends to a lot of other things outside of art.
Sure.
That's how I get just seeing anyone passionate and excited to do something. Or like someone goes on YouTube and makes a video and they're like, well, so I ran into this problem and I was trying to solve it and I figured it out and I figured I'd make a video about it in case anyone else has the same problem. And that just warms my heart. I gained so much faith in humanity from things like that. I think that's a big part of it is just seeing people enjoy themselves doing what they're doing. And again, like, if you're doing it to be successful or like, you know, you have to want to do it because you enjoy doing the actual thing, not because of what it's going to bring you. Unless what it brings you is like, you know, joy.
Yeah. But I love money. So this is working out well. Just to go back really quick to the, again, kind of the timelessness of art and how it just is kind of a part of us. Even if you're not a creative, it's like, mm-hmm. it's connected to you. Is I found this quote that says, painting, sculpture, music, literature, and the other arts are often considered to be the repository of society's collective memory. I just love the line collective memory of just like, yeah, it's just like when, as soon as you're born, you inherit like this vast library of like beauty, and that maybe some of it's ugly, you know, maybe some of it's hard to swallow, but it's all just the past kind of welcoming you and being like, this is what your kind has like made. And there's something, again, it's that solidarity, because it's easy to feel alone.
Yeah.
And be like, what is my purpose? But be like, oh, there are so many people who have asked this question before me, and here's how they answered it, and here's how they answered it, and here's how they answered it. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just tasty.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the difference of interpretation thing, or like, you hear so many artists having gone through similar phases, like some of the more troubled artists, for example, or had depression or just the anxiety or suicidal thoughts, and then translated all of that into whatever art they were making. And all of it looks different, even though it addresses the same topics. And another thing too is, it's in you from the day that you're born, even if you're not a creative, like you said. And it's everywhere. And so like someone might be like, oh, well, you know, I don't need art in my life. I've never seen a painting in person or whatever. And I would be fine not seeing art the rest of my life. But it extends so much further than a painting or a song or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if you stripped art from society, you not only lose all the actual like fine arts, but you also lose clothing and architecture and like vehicle design, all these things, or like the world would be so bland. And it's you know, studies have shown that if you like, and you're just in a concrete jungle of just block buildings, you're automatically more depressed than if you are in a place that has greenery and good design and artwork and murals and all these different things. So yeah, like if nothing else, it just makes people happy. Not that all art is meant to make people happy, you know, but it just it conjures emotions like that.
Well, and just the power of self-expression is great and vast, and it's you know, whether you're a creator or not, there's the thing that you love doing, or there's the purpose that you get from your work, or the people that you enjoy spending time with. And so if you imagine for yourself taking that away, it's like, that's how it'd be if you take self-expression away from a creative.
Yeah.
And so the fact that whether or not it, you know, helps somebody or, you know, gets put in a museum, it's like the fact that there's a way for human beings to try to comment on how they feel about the world, something that happened to them. It's like, that's really important. And then going beyond that, it's like art's been used so much for, you know, important movements, you know, social justice. You've frequently referenced
West Coast hip hop.
And then you think about like the Berlin Wall and like just like all the meaning of like, you know, this thing is meant to be an obstacle, but then all the beautiful art that was put on there, and then when it got torn down, it's like kind of like this like real like the new image of like what had occurred. And you know, different songs that were kind of like the theme music for movements or stuff is obviously it takes real people doing, you know, certain actions and not just art as an idea that can necessarily inspire change, but it's the passion, it's the thoughts, the dreamers, you know, all that stuff. One of my favorite quotes is from V for Vendetta. The whole ideas are bulletproof. The guy's just like shooting the main character and he won't go down. And it's just like such a, like I remember eighth grade Kyle just nerded the heck out when he watched that. I mean, he's still nerdy now. Eighth grade Kyle, unfortunately, still exists a little bit.
He never left.
I went through a brief emo phase, which for me was not that emo because I still was very, you know, I don't know. My parents probably wouldn't have let me go full emo, but lots of black shirts.
Sure.
But no gothy makeup, which is unfortunate because I would like to see that.
I think everyone would.
Yeah. Okay. We'll make it happen next Halloween. Anything off of that, Noah?
Well, I was just thinking of what you said earlier about it doesn't necessarily have to help someone. If it does, great. But I mean, if the only person it's helping is you, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like a therapeutic thing for you, you know, even because I mean, there's so much abstract art that can be interpreted in so many different ways and might not necessarily bring anything to anyone else. But if you get satisfaction from just throwing paint onto a canvas or just writing a poem about something random, you know, mm-hmm. about your cat or whatever.
And Smokey. Cat.
Oh, yeah, my Lord. Cat. Yeah. I'm surprised. Have you written a poem about Smokey?
No, but it's coming. I've created a whole character for Smokey, true. But yeah. I haven't written a poem yet.
Yeah, well, you should. But yeah, like if that's your therapy, if that's your creative outlet, then good, you know, pursue that. I know there are times where either consuming art or creating art has just helped me through deal with a certain emotion.
Yeah.
Whether or not anything came of it, you know, if the only thing that it did was make me feel better, then that was good enough. I think that there's a lot of value in just that simple thing, which is like if it raises your level of happiness, mm-hmm. then great. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
With art, like if killing people raises your level of happiness.
Hey, I was on the same page. I was like, why are you hesitating?
Yeah. Sort of a little disclaimer there.
We do not support murder here on Humming Fools. I remember.
If it raises your level of happiness without bringing anyone else's down, then it's worth something.
I can like say if killing people raises your level of happiness, then and I was like, no,
you're right.
Stop it. I remember going with my sister to see Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Mm.
And that movie was too close to home for Papa. It was just like watching my life on screen. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so
it's very relatable.
To your point of the emotion, it didn't change anything in me. Mm. I didn't go, oh, I will now do this and my life will be different. Or right. like, oh, my past didn't happen to me. Mm. But there was something about watching another character go through it and be like, and we've talked about this, you know, a little bit in the past, but that like, oh, that happened to someone else besides me.
Yeah.
Or this writer knows like what it's like to go through this. And so my sister and I both left very emotionally just fragile. Mm. And again, my life wasn't different in any way, but to see it, you know, like you said, very similar things happen on screen and for characters to deal with them. It's like, oh man, this writer, because the person who wrote the book also directed the movie, which is cool.
Right.
And he just did a great job. And there was something, like, I still felt sad. Like, it was a rough spot for Kyle. But I still felt sad leaving, and stuff was still hard. And so nothing had been changed for the better by the art. But kind of, in a way, it was, because I didn't feel as alone.
Yeah.
Even though the situations were all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's magical.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
But to go back to what we are talking about more specifically of just the individual making something. Yeah, like art doesn't have to be consumed or seen by anyone else to be art. Mm-hmm. You making something. And so there's plenty of stuff that I've made that will never see the light of day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to. But in the moment, just working through something, it was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough.
Yeah, it's like it's like keeping a diary or keeping a sketchbook or keeping a you know, just something that lets you cope with certain emotions that you're not really necessarily ready to let out into the world. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a kind of a mentality in the art world where like, oh, well, the value of it is determined by the people who like see it, mm-hmm. or experience it. And then they just sort of decide what it means. And, you know, like it's up to people interpreting it. But yeah, I really agree with what you said. We're like, no one else has to see it for it to be art. I think as long as it's you expressing yourself, I think that that sort of ends the definition of it. It's mm-hmm. just, that's all it is. I agree.
And to take a couple more steps backwards, sorry that this is all over the place.
We started at the end and then we're just going to work our way towards the beginning.
of like, maybe you aren't necessarily, and again, I don't know why you're listening to this. Maybe it's just because you like Noah and I. You're like, I don't give a crap about art, but I like these guys. That'd be awesome. And we welcome you. You're just as important. But if someone isn't super into art and really doesn't consider themselves a creative or really invested in that world, it's like you still would be affected by the loss of art because you would lose those types of people. And again, artists aren't all like that stereotype of like throwing flowers in the air, right? There's very different types of artists. Mm-hmm. And again, like you talk about architecture, like an architect's brain is very different maybe from a painter or a writer, but they themselves, and it doesn't have to be, but they themselves are very much an artist in how they're seeing things and mm-hmm. what they're creating and making it beautiful. And so you would lose out on that. And so even if you're not reading or listening to music or whatever, which again, like almost everyone listens to music. Yeah. So that would be a big bummer.
I think that's probably the most universal one.
Yeah.
Would be music.
Yeah. But then like buildings and like mm-hmm. Advertising mm-hmm. and, you know, some things again on my list would be, you know, less important, but just the world would be vastly different in the ways of inciting change or hearing about other cultures, all these things, it would just be so lame. So I totally get people who are like, I don't want to go to the movies. I hate going to movies. I'm like, cool. I do too sometimes because people suck.
Yeah.
No, and I have lots of bad experiences. you know, or if like, I'm not really a reader, that's fine. Like, but there's just so much that you would miss out on. And again, art history students or professors would do a much better job of, you know, breaking down historically, you know, all the crap for you. But I don't care. I'm just here to talk.
Yeah.
Give you my opinion.
Just a humming fool.
That's right. So I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I mean, you touched on something about history. I forget what it was, but I heard the
word. Let's go
history.
Back. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's just like, even if you go way, way back, that was like the first records of anything was through art before people used words and things like that, you know, and writing. And mm-hmm.
Vinyl was at the very beginning.
Yeah. It's really throwback, man. But anyway, yeah, I heard you mention history, and it kind of made me think of that.
Yeah, that's true. Like at the very beginning, it was images and kind of forms of storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, and people, you know, made jewelry and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it has no utilitarian purpose. It's just, oh, I like it. It's nice.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I wonder if you could go back in time and somehow communicate with those people if you asked them, like, why is making that important, what they would say. Again, if you were like, again, don't come at me, how would they talk to you? Shut up,
Kyle, they don't speak English. That's you, right. Idiot.
dumb blonde. But yeah, it'd be fascinating. Like, I wonder if they'd be able to comprehend the concept of like, why do I have to tell you? Why does it matter?
They're like, what's a society? We don't have that yet.
Yeah, for being realistic, they probably would be cooking me over a fire.
They just attack you immediately.
Yeah.
So guys, what do you think?
Transitioning from maybe some of the pleasantness of it all, something that I think that is important about art, and we briefly touched on it, is that it can be a little bit challenging. that it can show you stuff that you don't like. And we talked about this in the tackling dark subject matter a little bit. But and this for me will – I have specific film examples, but Noah, feel free to throw some other mediums – mediums. Sorry, I had a brain glitch there my way. But there's two films recently that really did kind of challenge me and make me uncomfortable. And those two films were first Hostiles, Christian Bale, that was 2018. And then Wind River, which I think was 2017.
Yeah.
But both of those kind of dealt with just the mistreatment of Native Americans, both currently and in the past.
Yeah.
And for me, after those films, I just was like, dang, I just like was thinking about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what, like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, we're not getting political. You know, I would argue it's not political to say that we shouldn't be buttholes to people. Oh, that should be universal.
Yeah.
But, art's good about, maybe because it is other perspectives. And so sometimes other perspectives are going to come and they're going to clash with yours. And that can feel uncomfortable or it can feel bad just because it's different, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It's good to come up against something and either it'll reinforce like, no, I actually still believe my thing, or you'll grow and change a little bit. But those films, again, not that before I was like, oh, like Native Americans suck. I did not have that mentality beforehand, but I guess I had never really thought about their plight too much. Mm. You know, like it kind of gets skipped over in history class.
Yeah, yeah, it's really overlooked.
And then just the places I've lived in America have not really come into contact with many of their people or like been on a reservation or any of that stuff. And so to kind of have awareness brought of like, hey, here's reality for these people. And then again, here's why they're angry about the past. And it's like, oh my gosh. Mm. And I wouldn't have had that without seeing this film. And the film wasn't preachy. It has a story that has to do with stuff besides that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, that's what's cool about art is it can kind of get in your face a little bit and hold up a mirror and be like, we're not that pretty.
Yeah.
And you go, oh,
yeah.
Oh no. Whereas again, just because people don't like being uncomfortable, we don't always seek out to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So art's a good like Trojan horse. Man, I can't talk tonight, Noah. We were loopy last week and we're loopy again this week. Slash, I am. I know I am. What do you think about all that, Noah?
I agree. And yeah, to clarify what I said earlier, I don't think that the only purpose of art is to make people happy or that's the only time that it's good. I'm saying if that's what it does to you, then that's good. That's good enough. You know, it doesn't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
But yes, I do agree that an important part of art is to, challenge people and present them with something that maybe is unsettling. Because that's really needed. Yeah. And it's especially with stuff like that, issues of just discrimination and treating people as inferiors. I read a book recently called They're There by an author named Tommy Orange. And this was his first book, came out last year, I think. And he's a Native American, and he writes about all these different characters who are Native Americans, and a lot of them, some of them are struggling with like assimilation, and they're like, I just want to be normal. I just want to be amongst other people and not have to worry about my Native American heritage.
Mm.
And the other portion of people are like, well, no, we have to really embrace that stuff. It doesn't have like people don't have to like it and all that stuff. And so it's really interesting. It was really eye opening for me. It was like, oh, like this is happening today. Mm-hmm. But no one talks about them as a minority, you know, or I feel like it's really overlooked. So stuff like that, we're like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of this before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that we sort of had a similar awakening over the same topic just from different places. So again, yeah, it works all across the mediums and the types of art. It does a really good job, at least for me, visual arts do a really good job of presenting you with something shocking. And you're like, well, why is this shocking to me? And then you sort of have to come to terms with, oh, maybe it's because it brings out a part of me that I don't like, mm-hmm. or a part of society that I don't like that I wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. It serves all those purposes really well.
Totally. And again, it's like, it's fine to retain your opinion, but get frustrated. Oh, okay. I just get frustrated when people are just like closed off to anything that differs from that. Yeah. And so like, I remember when Moonlight came out, I was in contact with a lot of people like, oh, I'm not going to watch that. And it's like, ugh, like this agenda. And I was like, listen, I'm not going to jump into that. I'm not going to talk about that. But at the very least, it's like, here is a perspective that's different from yours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am not a gay man, but mm-hmm. I was excited to watch the movie because I was like, I don't know what this is like. I mean, a gay black man too, it's double. I'm like, I don't know what this is like.
Uh-huh.
And so again, I don't have to subscribe to the mentality of an author when I mm-hmm. consume something, but, and I'm not trying to be preachy, but, because I've watched plenty of movies that I would say were challenging afterwards. I was like, oh, I don't want to like watch that again, or I didn't like that, or this person is way off base. But that's good because it's making my brain think. And again, I'm having to go, what's my opinion? What do I think about this? Or like, I didn't like that. Or I got to, you know.
Well, and at the very least, you'll analyze your own beliefs and be like, well, why do I believe that? Is it valid if it holds up after being challenged? And you're like, yeah, I can hold on to this. And if it falls apart after just being presented with just one other thing that's different from how you feel, then maybe it's time to sort of re-examine why you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Totally. And recently I was talking with another friend about Bone Tomahawk.
Wait, another friend?
Oh, this is awkward. No, I've been seeing someone.
Do you have another podcast?
Yes. It's called, who's France's biggest enemy historically?
That's too long of a title.
Everyone?
That'll never fit on iTunes.
Anywho, we were talking about Bone Tomahawk, which is, I wouldn't say, an incredibly deep film. It's a horror Western, but, he pointed out an interesting side of how it kind of points the finger at glorifying violence and even how it's like our main cowboys are seen as, the heroes in contrast to these cannibals, but murder is murder.
Right.
Or not murder is murder, death is death. And they're all doing terrible things to each other.
Yeah.
And how from like a creator's standpoint, you know, like if God was looking down at this, because at one point one character looks up and says, are you seeing this? Like what's happening? But it's like to the creator would be like, well, you're all just killing each other. And this was not my plan. And I was like, oh my gosh, and that made me think about just all the Westerns I've seen and kind of like, I'm a fan of action movies and it doesn't change my opinion. I still love me some good, you know, fight scenes or whatever, but it's easy to have that it's us versus them mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and even if someone's being evil, it's like, it's still tragic that there's loss of life. And I found that interesting and I would say that it challenged me and I wouldn't have gotten there without that weird Western horror film.
Or without someone else having also watched that weird Western
horror
film.
That's true. That was a necessary ingredient.
Yeah. So, and I think that comes around to what you were saying earlier, to where you may not enjoy art yourself, but if you lose art, you lose the people around you that are able to interpret it or find, you know, satisfaction in interpreting art and then can communicate that to other people in that way. So like, for example, even if you'd never been interested in watching that movie, someone else had watched it and said, oh, well, this is what it did to me. Then you may have still been challenged in a similar way to where you've been like, oh yeah, I never thought of that. even if you'd never taken part in consuming that.
Totally. Oh. As a French man, Noah, would you consider a baguette to be a piece of art?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's done properly. What's the message?
What's the message of the baguette here? So another transition, unless you got anything more here, mm-hmm. Noah. Okay, choo-choo, the train is moving forward. Forgive me, folks, I don't have this memorized, so I would like to read this little excerpt from a Huffington Post. I know everyone rolls their eyes at once. This is from the Huffington Post, and it's talking about the economic value that art has. And again, I don't want to stay here long, but just in doing this research, I went, oh, because I was like, I like to think that art contributes a lot. It makes sense. Like just even thinking about Hollywood, it's like they make a buttload of money. Mm-hmm. So imagine how much money is elsewhere. But also like, I don't, compared to the other trades, you know, agriculture or whatever, sure. Who knows? But here's some tasty goodness for you. Hopefully me reading it doesn't make your heart sad. In 2015, the arts contributed more than 4% to the United States GDP, which is gross domestic product. You can look that up. I don't want to try to explain it to you because I would do it poorly. Anyway, a more specific number, $704 billion, which is what was contributed by arts in 2015. So I'm sure it's more now. Mm. And that was according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. So to put that number into sharp relief is what they say, comparison. Agriculture and mining together make up 3% of our nation, United States, GDP. So that's crazy. Mm. Art beats agriculture and mining.
Yeah, combined.
What? Yeah. And so, and then this kind of goes into the specifics of how it's beneficial, which I think is good. So I'll read that as well. But it says, but what's more important is how this number breaks down at the local level. The arts economy is thousands of small businesses, theaters, museums, galleries, concert halls, whose influence reaches across every sector, creating jobs for electricians, technicians, carpenters, engineers, construction, and administrative positions, not to mention the artists themselves. And when you factor in the economic impact of the arts on local businesses like parking, restaurants, shopping, and other related services, it's no wonder cities big and small clamor for an arts economy. And I was like, I didn't even think about any of that other stuff. And so you and I have been talking about how like, oh, well, even if you don't like it, it influences other people, but it's also like it influences all these random things like, oh, so someone wants to go see a gallery, they have to park to see it. So that helps.
Yeah.
Like that's cool. Uh-huh. And like the fact that like, oh, well maybe for this installation or for this production, I need an electrician. And so mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like it creates even random jobs that don't necessarily have anything to do with like art in the traditional sense, but mm-hmm. it's kind of this big community.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really permeates everything in that way. I think you can trace any one thing back to art in some way, or at least it'll be connected to it. But even then, like, I feel like in agriculture, there's always going to be an element, like, who designs the equipment and stuff mm-hmm. like that? Do they try to make it aesthetically pleasing so that they can sell more of that equipment than the competition that makes stuff that really doesn't look good, you know? I mean, it just, you can just follow the chain and you're always gonna find art along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super interesting.
The first time I found art was in a field and it was a scarecrow and she was beautiful and she also rejected me.
Yeah.
She said I didn't have enough crows on me.
Oh.
She got a lot of crows.
She was like, hey, get out of here.
I thought you were just going to stop with hey.
No.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to get to the rejection part as well.
Oh, okay. That's where the juiciness is. I think everyone loves hearing about how alone I am. I think it really draws our listeners back. Noah, I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
You're done with your notes.
I don't have anything else.
I'm done as well.
Okay, anyway, so our episode's done. Thank you for joining us. Sorry it's a shorter one. It's been a pleasure being here. Just so that you guys know, we are not going to be around next week because of Thanksgiving. We're going to take some time off for the holidays. Yeah. Noah, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Probably going to be with the in-laws and the fam.
Nice.
It's usually a big meal. So, yeah.
You sound really excited about it. Is there any particular traditions that you guys do? Because you haven't been back home to France for a while. So it's been you and Julia and her parents and family for a while.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we do back home?
No, like here.
Oh, here. Yeah, it's pretty, it was pretty traditional. My mom always liked it as a holiday, and she always did the whole food stuff. And
Whole Foods is in France?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
and the turkey and the stuffing and the cranberry sauce and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Instead of stuffing, would you shove a baguette up a turkey? And if so, what's that called?
It's called a turquette.
I think for our next episode, we should have a Kyle's not allowed to say baguette like thing.
You wouldn't make it 5 seconds.
I would like the challenge because I think I've become too confident and comfortable with throwing it into every single
thing.
It's
a crutch.
Yeah, it is. It's a comedy crutch and I need to be better. So I'm thinking maybe next time we give you a bell or something and maybe a whip too for every time that I say
you need a swear jar, but a baguette jar,
which sounds delicious. Fantastic. I hope, Noah, that you have a lovely Thanksgiving. I'll see you before then, but our listeners will not.
Yeah.
I guess that's it then. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram. Follow our official Ominous account on Instagram. Let us know what you think about art, its importance, its role in society. And stay tuned for a new episode in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Bye, Noah.
See you.